Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. I'm excited that you're with me today. Today's call is going to be a special bonus group coaching call. And so the focus is going to be around you. And so I'm going to be bringing you directly on the line here in a couple minutes. So I'll give you all the instructions here in terms of what to do to participate on the call. Normally for our calls, the format is 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A, but basically for the entire call today, it's all going to be focused around giving you turns to share. And so I'll give you the format again in a moment. You can also email me if you need to. You can reach me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out in our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program call. And you'll find the link in the email message that I send out each week. Every week you should be getting an email message on Wednesdays, generally in the morning, that will have all the details about the call for today. And so today's call, let's set a comment goal for today's call. Let me add a note into the group here. Let's start with 25 comments. And since you won't be sharing takeaways from what I'm sharing in general, what you'll have to do is to share what you're learning as we have other people sharing. So, again, as I go through the format, I'll explain how it works. And I also encourage you to go out and access the recordings that are out on the membership page. And, again, you'll find that link in the email message that I send out, but you can go out there and listen to all the audio recordings from this program, and there are also some bonus videos that are available online as well that you can get access to. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program. It's designed to teach you systems that you can use to grow your business online. And I talk about everything from how to utilize CRM systems to leveraging to setting more appointments online, using online scheduling systems, and using email marketing tools as well. And today's call, again, is a bonus group coaching session. And next week, we're going to be starting back over on Module 1. So today is a great day to be getting started back with the program again, and I encourage you to make a commitment to join me for the next 12 weeks to learn all the content and information and ideas that I will be sharing in this program. Of course, the calls are on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and I encourage you to join me for these calls. And even if you only make it for half the call, again, normally I do content for the first 30 minutes. If you can jump on for the first 30 minutes of the call, you're going to get a lot of great ideas and information. And sometimes that's all you need to be able to get one good idea that you can take and then implement in your business. And I have all sorts of new distinctions that I'm learning all the time and ideas that I will share with you as we go through the program. In fact, I was just listening to a great conversation on a podcast the other day. It was a podcast from Tim Ferriss, and he was interviewing someone regarding e-commerce and websites and other strategies. So I was picking up new ideas there, and so I always, I'm constantly learning and improving my knowledge as well, and I pass along those great ideas to you as well. So one quick announcement I want to make here. I want to let you know about an upcoming event that's happening this week. I am doing a special webinar coming up on this Thursday, and the topic is on 7 steps to create a multi-audio CD set, and that's going to be at 10 a.m. Pacific on Thursday, and I encourage you to join me for that, and I'll share the link out in the chat window here. Let me grab the title of it. And that's going to be a great training in terms of giving you some ideas about how to take your knowledge and information and turn it into content that you can monetize. All right, I just shared the link out in the Facebook group, so you can get access to it there. But the link otherwise is socialmediaoutcomes.com/audio webinar, socialmediaoutcomes.com/audio webinar. Okay, now the format for today's call is a group coaching session, and so instead of covering one of the 12 modules, I'm going to open up the call to answer your questions. You can also share your wins as well as any tips on leveraging sales technology tools. So one of the things I encourage you to do, if you haven't already done it, is to start jotting down some notes on your paper. So when I call on you, what are you going to share? So let me give you the format here. The format is that when I call on you, you can ask a question. You can share a win or some type of a success that you've had recently. You could share a tip, or you can pass. Now, I wouldn't recommend passing, otherwise this is going to be a very short call. So I want you to stretch your brain a little bit and just think about what you can contribute to the conversation here. In terms of questions, again, I'll take questions on any kind of sales technology tools that you might use. Normally, I don't cover social media marketing that much in this program, but if you want to ask a question about social media, you can do that. If you want to ask some questions about email marketing, I'll take that. If you want to talk about ways to leverage online calendaring systems to book appointments, we can talk about that. So I'm sure you can come up with a few questions that you could ask. And then in terms of wins, you know, you can share a general win that you've had, or you could share something where you've leveraged a technology tool in your business, or even just learning a new distinction. I figured out, or I implemented a couple new systems in my email marketing today. I'm always working on ways that I can kind of be able to market more effectively to my email list. And I also found a new technique that I'm using within. And so maybe if I have a little bit of time a little bit later, I'll talk about Zoho and CRM systems and provide some additional insights into some of the things that I'm doing with them. And then finally, you can also share a tip. Everyone in this program, you've had a lot of experience in sales and leveraging technology tools in your business, and so I'd love to hear your tips as well. All right. So let me, before I switch gears and start bringing directly on the line, depending on how many people are on the call today, you might have upwards of 2, 3 or more opportunities to share. We'll just take turns going around. I might also pause and share some additional insights as we go through the call as well. This call will be recorded and it will be posted up on the membership page later on this week. Okay, so let me go ahead and bring the first person on the line, and that's going to be Roy Rasmussen. Are you there, Roy?
I am here. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing well. Thank you.
So my question is about LinkedIn marketing, and I was wondering if you could comment on a trend I am seeing lately, and maybe if you have any other thoughts about LinkedIn marketing. But the trend that I'm seeing is two things. I'm seeing more internet marketers using LinkedIn lately, and a lot of people requesting to connect with me on LinkedIn, especially over the past couple months. So that seems to be accelerating as a trend. At the same time, I am seeing when I do, sometimes I do article assignments on job recruiting, and I'm seeing that job recruiters, on the other hand, are placing less emphasis on LinkedIn as a job recruiting tool, which was its original purpose. So I'm wondering, does this reflect becoming more of a social media tool and a job networking tool lately? And do you have any other thoughts on this trend that I'm seeing?
Well, first of all, I think the fact that you're seeing more or less activity with job recruiters is probably a nature of the fact that when LinkedIn started, there weren't a whole lot of tools that were out there that address the needs of recruiters and people connecting and looking for jobs. And I think now there are more avenues and resources that are out there. Although I think LinkedIn does still provide a great opportunity for people looking for jobs and also people who are looking for employees because of the nature of the information people put out there on their profiles. And it makes it easy to go through and search LinkedIn and look for people that you can connect with and share your information. So I think that's just a natural progression as more and more companies and services launch that address the needs of businesses recruiting. The less LinkedIn probably will be utilized as a resource for that. So that's one of the answers there to your question. The another question you asked was about internet marketers using the using LinkedIn. Can you tell me what you're seeing in terms of how they're using it?
I think I'm just seeing more volume of people requesting me to connect with them on LinkedIn, and it's people that I know or am subscribed to in the internet marketing community. And some of them are within the network with you and Eric, so that's probably a common explanation for that part of it. But I'm also seeing it from other people who aren't really in that network, so I'm just wondering if they're, you know, recently has gone out some message to use LinkedIn or something like that.
Well, I think what we're seeing right now is that people are reevaluating how they're utilizing social media. And, you know, because here's the thing. The reality is that you always have to look at the different tools that you're using and whether you're getting results from them, because there's only so much time that you have in the day, and you have to think about what's going to be the best avenue or resource in terms of finding people, connecting with them, and then, you know, using that as an opportunity to generate sales. And I think considering the fact that probably Facebook is, you know, one of the biggest social networks out there in terms of people connecting, I think what people are finding is I won't say that there are less business opportunities on Facebook, but I think people are starting to realize that there's a whole game that has to be played on Facebook in terms of trying to get your message out there and reach people and communicate, and some people are getting a little tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what LinkedIn provides, number one, it provides access to a lot more business people. And so probably, you know, a lot of the people that you're seeing trying to connect with you, they're looking for business people rather than just, say, consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And so for anybody who's interested in reaching business owners, LinkedIn is a great place to do that because, you know, it's more of a business social network than Facebook, which is just a general social network. And I think, you know, people look at LinkedIn and they hear success stories around it, and they know there are great people to connect with, and there are a lot of people that don't necessarily know how to use it, and so they're experimenting with it, they're learning, and they're wanting to figure out how to monetize it more effectively. So I think for people who are interested in the other thing, by the way, with LinkedIn is there's more of an emphasis and focus around business knowledge. And so one of the things that LinkedIn has done is they've provided tools in terms of Pulse, where you can go and find information that people are posting, articles, and you can comment on them and share and create more interaction that way. And so, you know, there's a benefit there of actually learning kind of as you're connecting with other people in the process. So I think, and I think the other thing is that just like any social network, the more you grow your network, the more your network grows. So as you add more people, then it exposes you to more people, and so you get more requests from people. So, and then that in combination with being part of my network and Eric's, you know, that could be attracting more people like that to you. So those are my assumptions there, but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, did they update, you mentioned that they have some tools to generate discussion. Did they update any of those tools recently? It seems like I saw an update sometime over the past 6 months, but I'm a little vague on what it was.
Yeah, one of the things I'm seeing now is that it used to be with their information that the articles that they pulled in there were external articles, and then you would click and kind of go you know, view the articles externally. And what they've done now is they've built in a capability where you can basically add posts within LinkedIn. So it's not an update where you're just like sharing a tip or, you know, providing a link, you know, which is part of your update feed. It's part of the overall, it's like content marketing on LinkedIn. And so you add an article, you publish it out there, and then it's immediately visible to the audiences out there on LinkedIn. You start getting getting likes and comments. And that's actually one of the strategies I'm interested in pursuing. You know, it's like if there's – you have to think about, you know, what are the strategies that are going to produce results for you? And, you know, it's kind of tricky. I'm on this site right now looking around. I'm trying to find a place. It's like if you go into and view an article, then it has a place there for you to click and you can post. But let me see if I can find a link directly to the page where you can post. But I think that could be a real key for some people in terms of doing some content marketing and being able to share information out there and then create visibility and attract people in. And I saw that someone else in my actually in my community had posted a lot of articles, and then I was thinking to myself, I should be doing that. So that happens sometimes. Usually, you know, when you look out there and then you see somebody who's in the same space as you doing something, it suddenly makes you realize, oh yeah, I'm falling behind the curve. I need to step up my game here. And as I'm scrolling through, I cannot find a single post in this category, but I know there's one out there somewhere. You know what? Let me pop over. I know I got an email related to writing content. Let me go into my email real quick, and I'll see if I can find, because I actually got a nice article that LinkedIn sent me on that. Okay, here we go. Of course, when you find it, you can't locate it. It might have been a couple weeks back. I'm just scrolling through. It's a challenge when you get too many posts or use a general keyword like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
LinkedIn posts. It's something like writing for LinkedIn.
So there's a bit more content marketing on LinkedIn recently, you would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that's, you know, that's a piece that's not really there within within Facebook. You can certainly add notes, but it doesn't have the same kind of focus around that. Ah, I just realized why I'm not finding it. I'm in the wrong email. All right, writing for. That might help. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Everything you need to know about publishing on LinkedIn. All right, let's see what this is. Okay, it's a Facebook, or it's just a LinkedIn group on writing on LinkedIn, and it has a link here for an article. Aha, here we go. Everything you need to know about publishing on LinkedIn. Oh, it's a SlideShare presentation. All right, let me copy this whole link, and I'm going to drop it right into the Facebook group.
Good idea.
Access it. Okay, I just shared the link there, and so you can scroll through the presentation. What I'm hoping to find is to see if I can just find the link where you can go and post. Oh, here we go, write a new post. Like right on that page when I go to it, in the upper right corner it has a spot where it says, or a yellow button that says write a new post. Here we go, I found the link. All right, so let me share this link. You can add a post to LinkedIn here. It's linkedin.com/pulse/article/new. So it's actually pretty short, but that would be the spot where you can go to. And basically, it looks like you can add an image, 698 by 400. So that's a good size image. You can put a headline, and then you can write your article.
Do they let you embed videos on LinkedIn?
I don't think they let you embed a video in this. It looks like you have the ability to add an image. I think it's one of those cases where you probably want to see what people are doing and see how people are adding posts here. Like when I'm on this section for Pulse here, actually in this section, it'll show you on the left-hand side other posts. So I can scroll down and I can see a list of content. Like, let's see if I can find something here. nine ways your pricing strategy sucks. So there's an article or a picture of a guy kind of taking his glasses off, holding his face. And then it looks like it has, let's see, 9 strategies that it talks about this. And then it has a short little bio at the bottom with website, email, phone, and then shows who. Now, so what happens is on this post, it has it shows who it's written by and how many posts they have. So actually, you can pull up a list of other posts that the person has. You can follow them there. And then it will also show you likes, and also it gives the opportunity for people to add comments as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key in the format, I like the format of this. The writing is, the text is pretty big. And it looks like you can bold your like your subheads, your like you can number your items. Like this one has 9 points in it. So on each one of these, they bolded the text so it stands out a little bit more. So I think it could be an effective strategy. I don't know if there's any additional things you can do to get visibility from it. That would be something else to take a look at, is to see what you can do. And then the other thing is, when you're in this view, you could literally scroll down. It's kind of like an online newspaper, in the sense that as you're scrolling, once you pass one article and go into the next one, it kind of automatically jumps you down in the sidebar navigation, so you can see the article there. So it's kind of like a, I don't know if it's a never-ending list, but it's an ongoing list of one article after another that you can just kind of scroll through. So it's a pretty sweet little setup, I think. Let me see if they have a search within this. I'm not seeing a search, but LinkedIn does have its overall search, and I don't see anything for the Pulse around that. So it just seems to be like indexed content, but it doesn't look like you can go through and just, you know, search for a keyword and then bring up a list of these posts. So, that's now. I'm going to do some more research myself on it, and as I start posting some content, I might have some additional ideas to share.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be a good solo topic for its own teleconference or webinar.
Yeah, I'll probably cover it. I'll probably be launching a new LinkedIn program coming up here in the next couple months, and I will for sure be covering that as a strategy in that program.
Excellent. Thank you for the in-depth answer, Rick.
You're welcome. All right, let me get back to the phone line here and go ahead and mute the line back out. If you just joined us on the call a little bit late, today we have a bonus group coaching session, so I'm taking turns calling on people. And so next up we're going to have Angie Nurberg, and after that I'll call on Tom Holtis, and then we'll go back around to Roy Rasmussen again. So let me review the format again for the call. When I call on you, you can ask a question, you can share a win, or you can share a tip. So next up we have Angie. One moment. Are you there, Angie?
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Great. Just wanted to share, I guess, a win and ask a question in relationship to that. But have been doing some LinkedIn marketing touches that I've tasked actually an employee to do for me. But in that process, the numbers have gone up. The original goal was to get over 500, and we've surpassed that now.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of like Roy was relaying too, but it seems like, I don't know if it's partly because of the marketing efforts, but a lot more, connection type links. Is it your recommendation to pretty much accept any request coming in, or do you kind of filter those out?
Yeah, I'm pretty selective, as I am with most networks, and I don't approve every single request that comes in. I always go to their profile and they take a look, and you know, basically what I look at is this a potential customer or client? Are they a potential joint venture partner? Does this person have a network of people that I would like to connect with? And then I also look at it from the other side of the coin, which is, is this person reputable? Do I really want to be connected with them? Do they have any value to add to me? Are they going to, try to hit me up for something? And so, so I use that criteria, and if I'm in doubt, I'll just leave the request sitting there. And I'll periodically go through my list of requests and go back through them and check. And sometimes what happens is I'll get requests from people, and I'll just set it aside, and then I'll come back again later, another couple weeks later, and I'll discover, oh, this is a person who's on my email list. You know, they might have found me online and they opted in. So if I find that they're connected with me that way, then I know they probably responded to something or went out to my website and clicked to want to add and connect with me. So in that case, then I'll usually add them in that instance.
Okay.
But yeah, sometimes I think
initially it was like, woohoo, I got a connection. You were just accepting everyone. And now that I'm getting more of the invitations, it's like I might need to be a little more selective in this process,
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things to think about with LinkedIn is that you can get requests from other people asking to connect with people. And so there was always an assumption early on with LinkedIn that this is a network of trusted professionals, people that you know well. And in reality, these days, most people are using LinkedIn like they use other networks, and they're just using it to connect with anybody that they come into contact with. And so there's less of a really knowing somebody well or connecting with them. And so I'm not necessarily suggesting that you have to know somebody in depth and before you connect with them on LinkedIn, but some people do make that assumption that if you're connected to somebody that you do know them. So that's just something to keep in mind. And you may periodically get requests from other people. There's a process within LinkedIn where they would send a request through LinkedIn. You get the request. You can go in. You have to follow the process, type in a message, and then forward that message on to the person that they want to connect with.
Are there certain perks or benefits to having so many connections on LinkedIn, and do you know what the numbers are on those, if there is?
Well, I mean, there's not any, you don't necessarily get any, special bonuses once you reach a certain point within LinkedIn, but the more people that you're connected to, the larger your network expands. And even if you're not connected with somebody as what's called a first level connection, each person that you add, you are getting one step closer to their network, which grows the number of people in your second connections, and then obviously that also grows the number of people in your third connections as well. And you're limited on what information you can see on LinkedIn. If you have no connection with somebody and you pull up their profile, you can see very little information about them. If they're a second or third connection, then you can see a little bit of information, and only if you're a first connection can you see generally all their information. So it is a case where the larger you grow your network, the more benefit that you'll get from it. The other thing is to keep in mind that as you grow your network and add more people, it should also cause the number of endorsements that you receive to go up, because only people that you're directly connected with can endorse you through LinkedIn. And I'm not talking about recommendations where somebody types up like a testimonial. I'm talking like an endorsement where somebody clicks on a specific skill. All they have to do is click on the plus next to a skill, and then they endorse you on that. And so as you add more people, then you have more people who can potentially go to your page and then click to endorse you on a category.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. As we go through the process today, I also want to encourage you to share what you're learning out in the Facebook group. So pop out into the Sales Technology Training Program group. We have a goal right now of 25 comments for the call today. It looks like we're about at 7, so we're quite a bit under at the moment. So as I'm sharing ideas, as you're learning ideas from others, be sure to share those takeaways and what you're learning out there within the group. And we still have about 25 minutes left on the call. Might try to wrap up a couple minutes early, but I'm going to move on here to the next person on the line, which is Tom Holtis. Let me unmute the line. Are you there, Tom?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome to the call today.
Thank you. Let's see.
Would you like to? Go ahead.
I just took a look. I have 1,660 first-level connections, which spans out to like 21 million at third level. So anybody who wants to grow their network quickly, send me an invitation to connect. And I think the other thing is the capability. Well, if you can't find somebody, if you can find a group that they're in, you can join the group if it's open, and then you can send them a message even though they're not in your first level. That might be a suggestion for people.
Right. Good point.
The next thing is my profile is seriously out of date. Yeah, another thing on my list of things to do, which is extremely long. But that's about it.
Right. All right. Very good. Excellent. Thank you for the update, Tom.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, it looks like a big focus for our call today has been around LinkedIn. I think everybody's had a question around LinkedIn. It certainly is a great service. It's a great place to go out and make connections with business people. And I'm going to be directing a little bit more of my energy toward LinkedIn, I think, over the next couple months, a little bit less energy around Facebook. And, you know, one of the things to think about is as you're doing social media marketing in particular is how to reach out to people one-on-one. Like, for instance, on Facebook, I'm looking at how can I reach more people individually? What private messages that can I send out? Because a lot of times when you're just posting messages out on your personal page or on your Facebook business page, you're kind of just taking a shot at the dark and see who responds. But only when you're sending somebody a private one-on-one message do you have a specific focus to be able to make connection with them directly and perhaps ask them a question or something like that. And the other thing is to think about what is the process that you want to go through when you're connecting with people. Like, it's one thing just to send a private message to someone. It's another thing entirely to lead to a next step where you're talking to them over the phone. And by the way, one of the things I find helpful too is I will use messages. I'll send out messages to people in advance of my calls with them. So that's one of the ways that I use social media. If I've got a call coming up with somebody that day or the next day, then I might reach out and send them a Facebook message and say, hey, I'm looking forward to our call today at such and such. And oftentimes that message will be seen versus sending out like a reminder email or something. So you always have a lot of options in terms of how you can reach people. And so you think about how you can leverage technology to be able to get in front of people, because, you know, sometimes people will forget. And, you know, I periodically have no-shows on calls that I do. You know, I've got a booked appointment with somebody and then I call them and they're not there. And so it happens. So it just reminds me, oh, yeah, I need to make sure I get those messages out in advance, reminding them that we have that call coming up. Okay, well, let's go back around. We're going to start back with Roy again. Let me bring Roy back on the line. Roy, you can ask a question, share a win, or share a tip.
Okay, I'm going to ask a non-LinkedIn question. And
okay.
Dad, I'm going to go a little old school here, and I know that you've been on social media a long time and on the internet a long time, so you'll probably remember some of this. But before we really had the social media platforms we had now, one of the networking tools, a couple networking tools that I used were bulletin board systems that had been converted into email group discussions, where one person would set up the email group, and then you'd have the group mailing list, and you know, anybody who posted an email to the group, it would go out to everybody in the group. And I think spam regulations probably discourage some of that a bit, but I think there's some fairly established groups that are still doing that. And then another thing kind of similar to that was forum marketing, where instead of having a Facebook-style comment thread, you would have like a group topic that anyone who was a member of the site or of the group on the site could comment on that. And some of those forums are still very active. And I found those very effective for building a reputation just by interacting with posts other people were doing and posting my own content, or if it was an email list, sending my own emails out. And then that would often lead to private messages with people. And so my my question for you about that, since that's been going on a while, I guess I have a couple of questions, but I see a lot of parallels between the strategies you could use for those kind of tools and what you can do on social media. And I'm wondering, first of all, do you still see those as viable networking tools today? And if so, what do you think has changed from the early era of those tools to the way that they can be used today?
Good question. Well, I think there probably are still a lot of groups that are out there. In fact, and I used to be very active in using Yahoo groups. I haven't even logged into my Yahoo account in probably 3 years. I don't even know where my login for it is. So I would probably have to do some digging to find that and get access to it. But I remember I was in about 16 different groups, and some of those groups were very active. And it's just like you said, you would go in and you could post a message. Oh, I found my Yahoo account. Hang on, let me see if I can log in. Let's see if I'm still active. Oh, I have to confirm my account through SMS. Hang on. Oh, you know what? That's not going to work. That's a wrong phone number. Bummer. Let me try this. Let's see. Here we go. Unfortunately, it says it will send it to my Gmail account, my confirmation, and I have no idea which Gmail account it is, so I'll have to check on that. But anyway, I'll see if I can get into my account and play around with it, and maybe I can talk a little bit about that on a future call. But my assumption is, number one, you're probably going to have pockets of people that still utilize those tools. But I can tell you what I saw over the years was that many people have migrated groups off of either forums or off of Yahoo groups onto more of a social media platform. And so I think what happened is that a lot of those groups that were active, many of the groups either just died out, or they migrated off to another site, or, you know, some of them may still be active and getting activity there. So I think the challenge is it's going to be a lot more difficult to actually find an active group with the people that you want out in those groups than it used to be. And so I think probably the better opportunity is right now is to look at Facebook groups and look at LinkedIn groups as the primary, and then as a secondary, then see if there are any other groups out there. But it's kind of like it's like a needle in a haystack. It's even like a needle in a haystack just trying to find the right LinkedIn groups and Facebook groups to be involved with. And so as time goes on, you're working to locate groups, get in there, connect, post, and see if you can generate some activity. So I think it's going to be different for different people. So you're going to have to find out, you're going to have to take a look and see for yourself what, if you can find groups that would be relevant to you. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but I think it's really kind of going to be dependent on each individual as far as, you know, what you can find. Like some of the groups that I was involved in were for coaches. Mm-hmm. And so for that particular group, there were a lot of active groups that were out there, but I know that a lot of those groups have moved off, into another platform. So I think one of the things to look at is just to connect with the people that you want to connect with and find out what, how do they connect with people? How do they share information? How do they ask questions? But I think you bring up a good point here. What you see, like on Facebook, I mean, even just stuff that I post on a regular basis, what I found is when I post things that are business related, I usually get a very little response. When I post things that are more personal, I get a much larger response. And so I end up posting more of the personal type stuff. So, you know, it's interesting, but it's not really adding much value. And so it's good for connection, building trust and rapport, but it doesn't do much in terms of extending the conversation. And then I also see within Facebook groups a lot of times, you see a lot of things that people post are, you know, just inspirational stuff. And so you see a lot of inspirational things, but you see relatively few, you know, really good conversations. And so I think, I don't know if it's that people have gotten lazier than they used to be or what, but I think the nature of the way that people are communicating on social media has changed up a little bit. I think, you know, you have to sift through a lot of the groups that are out there to find the ones that are truly interactive, where you can really get a sense and a connection, be able to position yourself as an expert on a specific topic. And I think that's a big piece of it, is that you're wanting to look for ways where you can position yourself as an expert. You can answer questions. You can be a resource. And you want to do that in front of a group of people who are your potential customers or clients.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yes. And like you say, I think it depends on where your target market is hanging out online. And I think often people who were on some of those older sites will still be around on the newer social media. So if you meet them in either place, you're probably going to end up gravitating towards the same network over time. Well, one thing I'm curious about, you probably would find this easier to answer if you're able to log into your Yahoo Groups account, but I'm curious what kind of steps integrate some of those older tools with social media in terms of sharing between forums and Facebook or vice versa, or, you know, things like that.
Right.
But it's probably hard to answer that question if you need to find out what Gmail account your password is.
Yeah, I answered a security question that took me to a next step. Now it's wanting me to connect Flickr with Facebook before I can get to my Yahoo account. Let's see if I can just bypass and just go directly to Yahoo. I don't know. I am logged in. Cool. Let me see if I can get into, let's see, groups. Yeah, Yahoo used to have, like, I remember they were like one of the top areas for groups. I don't even see groups in the menu on, here it is. It's in the very top menu. Here it is. All right, let me see. Ah, yep, here are my groups. Wow. Let me see. Here we go. Coaches training. Let me see if there's any activity in this group. Founded in 2008. And, wow, message history. Last post was in 2008. So that one's pretty much gone. Let's see if there's another one. All my groups. Here we go. Wow. Yeah, you know, most of these, I'm not seeing any activity at all. Here's another one. March of 2009 was the last post. So at least as far as the groups that I was in, it looks like they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I used to get a ton of messages from. It was called Sorcerers Unleashed. And actually, this one does appear to be active. This one has a post as of November 6th. I'm assuming that's this year. Let me see.
I think the ones with numbers are more likely to stay active.
This one has 2,397 members. It's I think for Sorcerers, it's like recruiters. I don't know how I got involved with it. I got added to a lot of groups, I think. But this one has, it's just like a lot of job opportunities and things like that that are posted in here. So. But I think it's got less activity than it used to. So, yeah, my thinking is it's going to be a lot harder to find active groups. I think the other thing is, you know, like a lot of people have migrated away from Yahoo as a platform. I used to spend a ton of time in Yahoo, and then once Gmail came out, I switched over to that. And so all my, so I never have a reason to go into Yahoo anymore. And then when social media came out, then I just ended up migrating over that. So I moved all of my relationships over there because I a number of the groups that I'm seeing here are groups that I started. And oh, you know what? Here's another group. This one, the last post was 2010. So I think it's going to be a lot tougher to find groups that are relevant there. Now, one thing to note here, that if I'm going through these groups that I used to be involved with here, it shows me like one group has 54 members. It has a list of the members, and it has their Yahoo profile. So one way to think about this is that you could use it to kind of go through and mine people, you know, and look for people to connect with. So if I click here, I'm going to try to pull up one of these. It's not letting me. Oh, there is an opportunity to send messages to some people. Weird. It's not actually taking me to their profile. So that's going to be kind of difficult. Let me try this. Andrea. Nope. Yeah. So this is kind of limited in terms of what it can do because most of these people, it's not even mentioning their names on anymore. They may have closed their account or whatever. So it may be even difficult just to use it as a way to find old people that you were connected with, which would have been nice to be able to do.
They made it a little more challenging to use some of their search tools, I think, because some of them were getting abused. So they have tightened things.
Yeah, this is surprising to me because I'm going through and I'm trying to click anywhere where it would take me to a page where I could see more details about the person. I think, you know, that's one of the things that to me makes social media like Facebook so much more effective is that in the online world, it used to be that all your conversations in general were kind of with anonymous people. And I think what social media did was it brings the relationship to the forefront. And so instead of having all these anonymous conversations, now, you know, everybody's accountable. Now, you know, everybody can link out to your profile and they can see all the details about you. And so I think that's good and it's bad. I think in the anonymous world, you know, people oftentimes were more willing to just share information openly because they didn't really have to worry about people trying to track them down or get additional things. And I think in the social media world now, people are sometimes a little bit more reluctant to share. But I think the tools are better. Like you mentioned with the Yahoo groups, or you didn't say Yahoo groups specifically, but you mentioned bulletin boards and forums. What my experience was that sometimes it's tough to follow the thread. Everything occurred through an email. And so when somebody posted, you got an entire email. You would get it into your email, and then if you went to the group, then you would see the entire email. And so there's a lot of wasted, you know, space with all this extra information, whereas if you just go into a Facebook or LinkedIn group, then all you do is you're just posting the information or the content. You're adding, and it's, you know, a lot easier to thread the conversation with comments as well. So I think the tools are a lot better these days than they used to be, and so I think that's why – you know, like all the groups that I used to be part of are, you know, almost all dead just because people have moved on. And maybe they didn't recreate the exact same groups elsewhere, but they found new groups to connect with, new places where they could participate. And actually, here's another group. This one had a post in November here. So there actually are still some groups. I'll have to make a note of this one. I'll do a screenshot so I can go back and check with this one. This is a group of new coaches, so I'll have to check on that one. So, good. Well, let me go ahead and move on. I want to get back around to Angie and Tom again, so let me go ahead and mute your line back out. All right. Are you there, Angie?
I am.
All right. So do you have a question, a tip, or a win?
I do. I am also using Zoho, so I was just curious about your comment about what you were doing with Zoho.
Good. Excellent. All right. So the way that I use Zoho is So the tools that I have are One Shopping Cart, and then I have Zoho. One Shopping Cart I use for my email marketing, and Zoho I use for my contact management. And so what I do is, I'll use One Shopping Cart to figure out people to contact. What I will oftentimes do is I'll go through, like today, I picked up the phone and I made 5 calls. And the 5 calls that I made were to people that had all opened up and read one of my email messages today. And so that's oftentimes the way that I will spark, you know, who am I going to call, is that I'll go in, I'll take a look at one of the email messages that I sent out, and then I'll pull up whoever opened that email, and I'll start scrolling through and looking at the list. And, generally I have a pretty good memory of who I've talked to recently, and I'm always seeing new names, and so I'll click on a name, I'll pull up their record, and I'll copy their email address and drop it into Zoho, and then I pull up their record there, and then that's where I take my notes on conversations. And one of the things I like about Zoho is that I can click, and I can pull, there's a button that says add to new call or add a new call. And that brings up a little window. I type a little subject. I can select a call type, a purpose for the call, and then I click on the timer. And I've learned this over the years. What I found that I did initially was I would try to just track all of my calls like within a spreadsheet, and then I would go back to Zoho and add my notes later. And what I found is oftentimes I never get back to add my notes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do now is I drive the process through to Zoho. And so when I pull up the Zoho record, I click on that button, add a new call, I get the details in, I start the timer, and then I make my call and I talk to them. And then when the call is done, there's a place in there where you can click more fields, and it brings up a window where you can add a description and then a call result. And what I will do is I will type in, for the call result, I'll type in the date. I will type in a one-sentence note about what the resolution to the call was. So like one of them today, I put 11-11-14, spoke in booked appointment. And then I will take that and I'll copy it into another spreadsheet that I use, what I call a tracker. For those of you who are clients of Eric Laufholm, you might be familiar with the daily tracker that he uses. And so I have a tracker. It's a modified tracker. In addition to having like a summary of the calls, I have a call list in there. And so I make a note there of all the calls that I make. It's a little bit redundant because I could pull that information up through Zoho, but I like having the separate spreadsheet to go through and have that information there. So that's another way that I use it. And then what I figured out today, which I thought was pretty cool, was what I was thinking to myself was it would be nice if I could determine who I haven't spoken to, because oftentimes as I'm pulling up my list through One Shopping Cart, I'll see, you know, typically I'm seeing the same people opening up my emails. What I'm missing is who are the people who are not opening up my emails? Those are the people that I want to call as well. And so within the contact section of Zoho, there's a place where you can create what's called a view. And it's a way to filter your database. And I was thinking to myself, well, how do I identify, who haven't I called before? And I was thinking about doing it based on activity, because when you log a call, that becomes an activity. And I was thinking, well, if I could somehow filter and say, if a contact record has not had an activity, then show it on a list. And then what I realized was I remembered as I was looking at it that Zoho keeps track of both a created time and a modified time. The created time is when when the record was originally created. And the modified time is anytime you make an update to that account, then that modified time gets updated. And so what I did was I created a little filter within the contact or the view and said, show me every record where the modified time is older than January 1st of 2014. And so now I have a filtered list. It's going to exclude anybody that I've already both had a call with or just pulled up their record and made some update to it. So a couple people might get excluded, you know, if I just went in and did some updates to their record on there. But this does a lot better job of letting me see how many people am I not talking to. And I edited it further by saying, show me only those that have a phone number in the field. And that way it cut down the list even further, because if they don't have a phone number, then, you know, that's not going to help me when I'm going through my list and looking for people to call. And
right.
I'll probably
you're
still
looking at open rates for email marketing that you're not doing with them.
Yeah, exactly. And so what I'll probably do for this is I'll select a person like, oh, here's a person that I haven't talked to in a while, you know, or here's a person, I don't even know who this person is, let me click on their record, and then I'll grab the email, I'll drop it over into my shopping cart system and see, you know, what the status of the record is. And I was also thinking, you know, I should probably add a field into Zoho so I can indicate whether I'm actively email marketing to them or not. And that way I'd have that information there. But that's kind of secondary to the whole process of just figuring out who to call. But, you know, I think that the big idea here is that CRM systems like Zoho can be very flexible. And sometimes, see, the way it started for me today was just asking myself that question. Who is it that I'm not calling? Who am I not talking to? And by simply taking that question and then figuring out a way to kind of sort and sift through the data, I was able to then pull up and see, oh my gosh, this is a huge list of people. And so now it's a matter of saying, okay, well, how can I start fitting some of these people into my list to call? Is there any other way to prioritize this list? And looking at it that way as well. So I think, you know, sometimes you have to start with the question. I think sometimes we kind of look at our systems and we're just thinking to ourselves, okay, you know, help me. And it doesn't want to do anything. But when you start asking yourself questions like, I want to see blank, then suddenly your brain starts to wrap your head around it and say, oh, okay, so I could create a report. I could go through and I could filter my list. I could do this or that. I've even done a lot more, with one shopping cart. They added a function called tagging, which is something that's used by Infusionsoft and some other systems. And ever since I started using tags a couple months ago, that's given me a lot more capability to sort and filter my list and figure out ways to market more effectively to lists that I'm working with as well. So I think where you have systems that have capabilities, you have to learn how to best use those, and you have to ask yourself questions, which then prompt you to be able to utilize your systems more effectively.
Gotcha. Great,
excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's go back around to Tom one more time, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the call. And it looks like it just bumped me out of the system, so let me log back in. Hang on. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. All right, let me go ahead and unmute Tom. Well, that's weird. Are you there, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
I just have one question. LinkedIn,
sure.
Either owned by or owns one of the other entities like Facebook or Twitter, or I'm not sure which one. Which one is it?
That's a good question. I haven't heard anything like that. Let me see if I can just do a quick search. LinkedIn ownership.
I was sure that LinkedIn or Facebook owns LinkedIn or LinkedIn owns Facebook, something like that, but I can't remember which one.
Yeah, let me see if I can just go out to maybe LinkedIn Corporate and see if it has anything. LinkedIn Corporate.
So that's my only question.
And it could be that some of these have investments in others. Here we go. Press.linkedin.com. Let's see here. LinkedIn has 6,000 employees around the world, 332 million registered members. And I'm not seeing anything on here about who else they might own, unless it's something that they have on their. Could also be that one of their owners, like Reid Hoffman, might be an investor in another company as well. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything directly here that mentions it on their company page. So actually, there's a news release page. Let me see if there's anything here on that. LinkedIn to acquire Bizo, or BIZO. That was July of this year. Yeah, they've got like literally hundreds, if not thousands, of LinkedIn to acquire Bright. So Bright's a company that they acquired back in, or at least they were announcing it back in February of this year.
Well, assuming there is a connection, and knowing what it is might help use the services more effectively.
Could be. Yeah, could be. I mean, it could also be if there is a connection that they might, you know, tie things together a little bit more as time goes on. Oh, interesting. I'm noticing as of April of last year, it says LinkedIn acquires Pulse. I think Pulse is the tool that they use around news. So that actually, that whole functionality actually came through another company. So, you know, a lot of these technology companies, they'll acquire a company so that they have that capability they can integrate into their software, their site, so that they have that. So that could be where some of that came from. So interesting. But yeah, I think you know, the big lesson is social media sites change all the time, and it's always a case of thinking about, okay, well, what are the tools that are available to me? What do I need to do to best leverage these tools? And it all comes down to, you know, the three key systems that Eric Laufholm teaches, which I teach as well, which are lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion. And so I would, you know, look and say, how can I leverage technology to generate more leads? How can I leverage technology to book more appointments? How can I leverage technology to convert leads into business? And then thinking about putting into place specific technology tools that do that, or thinking, how can I use a site like LinkedIn to, in most cases, either generate leads or probably book appointments. You're probably not going to use LinkedIn directly to generate a sale, but at least those first two you could use it for.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are over on time, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the call. So I want to thank you for joining me on the call today. We had some great conversations, certainly a lot of conversations around LinkedIn today. We also talked a little bit about CRMs and some other technology tools. And remember, next week we start back at Module 1, so I encourage you to join me for that. We'll have some I should be sharing some great strategies on leveraging sales technology tools in your business, and bring your questions to the next call, and we'll create some more value in the process as well. So thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.